This is Word Radio. Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The B-29. This weapon, long awaited by the Allies, makes an appearance at an English airstrip. And rival eyes are watching. With the walls of Fortress Europe beginning to falter, the arrival of this powerhouse bomber terrifies the Nazis, spurring the Luftwaffe into action. They need something to defend against it. Something that can fly high, fast, and has some new tricks up its sleeve. The call is answered, and one aircraft stands above all others. Forged in the heart of Nazi Germany, this dark bird may be the perfect answer to the looming threat of America's superfortress. The Emergency Fighter.
This is Warbird Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here at Warbird Radio. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. I'm Ryan Keough here. Along with me, as always, our wonderful moderator in-house, Mr. Zane Adams. Zane, how are you this fine, fine holiday evening here?
I'm doing well, Ryan, doing well. Had me a big plate of nachos and a Dr. Pepper, but doing well.
Oh my! Well, see, I've got my big old margarita glass right here in front of me and stuff, and it's tempting me. It's tempting me. So if you hear any slurping, I might be actually downing some of that. No tequila for right now. That only starts after dark, and it's not quite the dark hours here yet, but it might be dark where you're listening out there in Warbird land. You might be listening to us from the East Coast. It's 8 o'clock out there. Or from the West Coast, you might be getting just off work, decided to stick around at your workplace for a little bit and listen to us on the internet, and we appreciate that. Or maybe you're already home. Heck, maybe you're one of the many, many of us out there who get days off or vacations every once in a while, or maybe even took Cinco de Mayo off because, well, gosh darn it, you're going to go celebrate. But wherever you're listening, welcome. We would love your call tonight. We're just about talking about just about anything here on Warbird Radio, just like we do pretty much every single week. We talk about the newest and the hottest topics that are popping around through the internet and across the wires in Warbirds, and we would love to hear from you. As always, give us a call here at the studio, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. Just give us a call here, and we will gladly take you on the line. But it's been kind of an interesting week on the forum, I would say, Zane. You've done your fair share of moderating, I would say.
Oh, a little bit this week, not too critically, but it's interesting. A few hot topics this week.
Absolutely. There's obviously we have a lot of the topics that were bleeding over from last week. The ride versus no rides and tours topic continues to be a hot button issue. But it seems like the one topic that everybody's talking about is the Connecticut Corsair topic, which was brought up and has more or less been. run through and some pretty passionate discussions on there. We won't go too far in terms of talking about it on here. We'll let you read through all of the posts because it's hard to summarize appropriately the passions of the people that are talking about this kind of stuff. But certainly it is a hot topic, and go on over to warbirdinformationexchange.org to read the whole story over there. That's certainly out there in the public community. And you know, certainly we want you to get involved with that. The other thing is we've had a couple of our veterans go west this week too. So wherever you are, raise your glass to a couple of those fine gentlemen from World War II to the west and toast them for their service, be it whichever Air Force they were in. Unfortunately, this week we lost Rudy Opitz, who I had the fortunate chance of meeting. He was a ME-163 test pilot, and I met him up in New England at the Aviation Heritage Festival a couple of years back, and so. But a very, very interesting, very, very nice gentleman, and lots of stories to tell. So we lost him this week. But
I can't imagine that sentence. ME-163 test pilot just scares the crap out of me. So
I know.
He must have been a heck of a guy.
Well, that you know, that brings into a pretty good idea. Is that, you know, near the end of the war, we had these what I called the kind of desperation weapons. You had the 163, which was obviously, you know, certainly an odd concept, but actually worked fairly well in compared to other aircraft like the my encyclopedic mind is beginning to, you know, wear away from me, but the aircraft, like, if you want to call it that, the rocket-powered projectile that had a person inside of it that fired more rocket-powered projectiles, the Bakken-Nodder.
Bakken-Nodder, yeah.
That's one of the ones that when I got a chance to see that at the Garber facility and saw how poorly put together that was and how what that was supposed to be basically is just a human projectile that went up and intercepted bombers, shot a bunch of very, very dumb rockets, you know, no guidance systems whatsoever on them, and then you just bailed out of it because it's completely expendable. It's made out of wood and all that kind of thing. I mean, there was a lot of that testing and a lot of those kind of products that were being built very cheaply near the end of the war. And the guys that were doing the testing off of this, the things that were going through their head must have been absolutely just mind blowing. All I got to say is that, I mean, with a 163, you're going faster than anybody else really had been going at that time on something that was pretty much caustic, and if you even touched into the fuel, you pretty much dissolve. So, I mean, V-stall,
yeah, and
C-stall.
No landing gear, and
very, very crazy, very, very crazy. So we commend you for your service in trying those revolutionary aircraft out, and sad to see you go. But my goodness, we raise a glass to you because, boy, you had a lot more than what we here in our comfortable radio studios would have on a regular basis. But sounds like there was some stuff that was going on this past week with the FAA as well. Zane, I had heard a little bit from you.
At the Temple Central Texas Air Show, there was some reports over the weekend of an overzealous FAA individual, safety inspector, that tried to violate the horsemen, the P-51 Mustang team, when they flew down the runway, did an overhead break, and he apparently called it an aerobatic maneuver, and tried to pull their licenses and furious phone calls back and forth between Washington, D.C. and the local FISDO, and everything else happened, and they settled that problem. But the horsemen did not stick around for the air show. They left and were not going to participate if this individual was still there. Took a stand against overzealousness, apparently, and this was all posted on the website. No big secret here, but one of the pilots involved in it, posted his side of it. I don't know the FAA side of it, but you know, there's been a lot of people saying that this guy is known in the community and the FAA guy, and known to be rather overzealous. So, you know, that created some some animosity there, and you know, it, I'm sad that the Horsemen had to leave the show. Apparently, you know, because they put on a great show, but it you know, hurt the show itself some, and it's something we've got to be careful with and be on guard with. Apparently, he rattled the cage of the Air Force's Viper West team while he was there too. So,
wow.
You know, I don't know. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's. That kind of that really does surprise me. When I read it, I was pretty darn, I guess, peeved at it, because when it comes right down to it, the folks that make up the team with the Horsemen are probably some of the most supportive and most staunch advocates of the airshow industry. Period. You know, Shipley, Beasley, those guys, they go out and they are, you know, pretty much some of the biggest promoters of warbirds and air shows and air shows in general. They are safe. They are expert pilots. They've been doing this for years and years and years. And to have an individual like that exercise those powers. Now, granted, the government has a right. Yes, they have a right. We don't want to, you know, we're not crying holy terror off of this, but there are certain things within reason. And yeah, I'm sure that if it was an egregious violation that was you know, hands down the, you know, the worst thing you could ever happen, and I know I've seen a couple, you know, on my own that I would have gone, okay, I got to call foul on that one, but it did not sound like this was something along those lines. I would do exactly like the Horsemen did. I would have left off of that, because, you know, there is no way, shape, or form that any air show is worthwhile enough to have that kind of, one, harassment to something that you're doing on your own free will and your own time. Granted, you're getting paid for expenses, but you're having fun with it. But two, risk your livelihood or your credibility by having somebody like that do what more or less is a justification of their own, you know, bureaucratic nature and their job by you know, having something like that sustain. So I give them a lot of credit for suffering through it, what they did, and then leaving off of that. You know, that's a we always hear these statements of you know, overstepping bounds by certain people at certain air shows, and it could be the air show coordinator, it could be the FAA, heck, it could be you know, other pilots or participants for that matter. You know, I think this was a good stand that they took, and I'm glad that they did, and hopefully repercussions will actually help streamline the process to make maybe the FAA a little bit more reasonable when it comes to air shows. So that's my opinion. I could be wrong. So
well, I think you're right on with it. You know, the Horsemen are the epitome of professionalism and safety, and they are great pilots and great promoters and everything else. But above all, they are safe, and they are professional, and they do what they do with the highest skill at the highest skill level out there. And for them to be called on something like this is just almost unimaginable, you know. And I saw them last year at Houston, and they were unbelievable, you know. And and they're just great guys, and they put their you know, they don't do this for profit. Mm-hmm. Their show, you know. And you know, it's not like, you know, they're just out there trying to make a quick buck and get away, but, you know, they are there for the long term and doing what they do. And it's sad that happened, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that at least a couple of the members were very pivotal in the creation of the Heritage Flight Program with the Air Force and you know, pairing up with modern military hardware with the World War II. Or actually, even, you know, some of the Korean War now and Vietnam War aircraft, when the Air Force allows you to fly within their very strict envelope standards, you got to say that there's something that they're doing right out there.
Yes,
but
guaranteed.
You know, again, the only thing we know is what. Was but or the only thing that you know, really transpired was that there was a conversation between the two parties. Well, we aren't privy to that, so there may have been a lot more at stake with it. But who knows, but we do hope that that this does not stain any sort of reputations here for the folks that that are part of the Horseman team, and we hope to continue seeing them at all the great shows around the country this year.
Apparently the air show went on, and you know the show must go on, and apparently it was a really good show. They did a really good job. So, in spite of the obstacles there,
exactly. well, that's good. I mean, it takes a lot. I mean, it takes a lot when you mess up. I know. Heck, you know, when we mess up over here at Wix Warbird Weekly, you know, we just let the show go on, right?
So yeah, there you go.
But well, if anybody out there that's listening has any thoughts, give us a call. Again, the phone number here in the studio, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. We'll get you on the line. And we'd love to have some early callers out there, too. We don't want to be here talking amongst ourselves, although it's always great to talk with Zane anyway. So, hey, it's not a problem at all. But
well, thanks.
Well, you know, it's funny because before this wonderful show started, I had never really talked to you in person. It's always been in type. So hey, this is always a treat here too.
Oh
so.
Yeah.
Plus I got my fun. Plus I got my big margarita in front of me with this big old Swedish fish on the side of it. So I'm.
It's always fun.
I'm playing with a Swedish fish, and you know he's getting nice and drunk and. Maybe I'll sip a couple after a little while with this, but some other interesting, you know, one of the topics that's kind of been, I don't know, I'm you know, spotlight on. I'm going to get up on my soapbox for a little bit, and everybody's going, oh great, Ryan's going to talk more. but one of the topics that's kind of been one of the things that I've been, I don't know. I have a mixed message against it or with it at this point. And I apologize for those whom I talk about. If you are listening to us tonight, this is not the official stance of Warbird Radio, its sponsors, or anybody else for that matter. It's just me. But, we all know that recently Harrison Ford signed on with AOPA and with General Aviation Serving America as an official spokesperson, which is great. He's been a very since his recent movies that featured him in aircraft and such. He's been a very big I guess early stages or late now at this point late stages private pilot. Has gotten his various ratings and stuff. Actually, I believe he's actually up to commercial pilot and all that kind of stuff right at this point. But he's been a general aviation advocate for a long time. And one of the things that I get a little bit worried about is that as we we here at the in the Warbird community and as we see enough of this, we see a lot of celebrities that are out there getting airplanes that they think are quite cool. I mean, Tom Cruise has a P-51 Mustang, or Michael Dorn, who played Worf on Star Trek, get these airplanes and they're pretty much sport planes to them. But we, their celebritude, if I can make up a word, really, they never really leverage it too much to help support the entire Warbird cause. And it's frustrating to me because their focus or their participation would do so much to help increase the awareness of what World War II history is all about, what Korean War history is all about. And it just seems like people focus on the celebrity factor and don't really ever focus on the airplanes. It doesn't really go in any farther. Recent flights where Tom Cruise went up in his P-51 or something like that, Us Magazine or People Magazine grabs pictures from the paparazzi that are standing at the fences, and they tell people that he's getting in and out of the airplane with his daughter, or so and so is seen on the wing with him. But they don't even recognize the airplane. They don't even, acknowledge what it is. They say, some hotshot jet fighter sometimes. And that's one of the things that really frustrates me. And I worry sometimes because, when you have a celebrity attaching to a major organization that's trying to promote aviation, do people really – I guess align with that person? Are people paying attention to that person just because he's a celebrity, or are people paying attention to that person because of what his stance on aviation is. And I guess it's a chicken and the egg thing. It's kind of a catch-22, as somebody would call it before. But it kind of frustrated me over the last couple of days because I see through all of these major news channels, Harrison Ford this, Harrison Ford that, Harrison Ford this. Oh, yeah, and he's talking about aviation. Oh, yeah, he's talking about aviation. And that's the thing that really, you know, kind of bugs me is that, you know, even the mainstream news that are trying to, you know, pick this up and such, they're not getting the whole story. Now, maybe it'll take a little bit of time. That might be the issue is that maybe it takes time. It certainly is, you know, relatively new relationship, but still, I want to know what everybody else thinks about, you know, celebrities and warbirds. What are the goods and bads about this? You know, are they helping us? Are they hurting us? Is it just, you know, one of these things that we really shouldn't be worried about? Just be glad that they're saved. So give us a call. Again, it is Cinco de Mayo here on lovely, lovely Wednesday evening. It is about 8:20 p.m. Eastern time, and you're listening to us live here at Warbird Radio. It is the Wix Warbird Weekly. What's your thoughts on it, Matt? Or I'm sorry, what's your thoughts on it, Zane? What do you think, you know, about this, you know, celebrities and warbirds these days?
Well, the celebrities and the media are what they are. You know, I don't have any hope or I'd say sounds negative, doesn't it? I have a little hope that that aviation is going to break through in the media, for the media to understand aviation. They didn't understand the U.S. air flight into, you know, the Sullenberger's landing, you know, water landing up there in the Hudson River. You know, they didn't. It's like they don't understand aviation at all. Of course, that goes along with the media. They don't understand. You know, they don't understand firearms. They don't understand race cars. They don't understand a lot of things. So, you know, that's the media. You know, the celebrities' involvement. You know, Chuck Yeager was involved for years with the EAA and the Young Eagles flights. Harrison Ford's signature is on the Young Eagles flight certificates. The last one I saw, he was on there. So Harrison Ford is a great promoter of aviation. And, you know, I don't think it necessarily hurts. I think that any good press for aviation is good press.
Well, I have no problem with, like, General Yeager, of course, you know, being part of it, because, I mean, honest to God, he's a legitimate aviation hero. I mean, he's one of his fame and fortune, or as I had to quote an Indiana Jones quote, is his fortune and glory really came from the fact that he was the first to break the sound barrier, or at least is the publicly acknowledged. I heard the because that's been contested by some, but you know, regardless, he was a big advocate of that. And yeah, also too, I mean, Cliff Robertson, he was one of the chairs of Young Eagles for a long time too, and he flew, you know, Spitfire. He actually, you know, hosted various shows on TV that were involving aviation. Flew a Tiger.
Johnny Rutherford was a big promoter as well.
Yeah. I think there probably was a certain crossing over point too, because there were a lot of guys and gals, you know, from the 1950s and the 1960s even, that were popular actors and actresses that may have participated in some form or fashion with the war and just continued it on, you know, continued flying in some, you know, some way or form. But I don't, you know, I don't know. I guess the thing that really, you know, keeps me at bay is I look at the time, not to come back to Tom Cruise again, but I look at Tom Cruise and the fact that he's got this P-51. Nobody ever sees it. Nobody ever hears about it. He doesn't fly it that much. And when it does, it gets put into almost this elitist category, which doesn't really help us, I think, in warbirds especially, that people then, you know, look at Tom Cruise flying this in this, oh my gosh, that's going to be a several million dollar airplane. Oh, there's no way I could ever be part of something like that. And it's almost discounted from the back of your mind. Where in reality, it could be used for so much to inspire young kids to, you know, take flight or something like that. And I see that Harrison Ford's actually helping that matter by inspiring kids to fly. And heck, Harrison Ford still rents airplanes. So it's you know, it's not like he's going out and buying every single airplane known to man at this point. So.
Yeah. You know, you talk about Tom Cruise and the, you know, the movie Valkyrie movie that came out last year. During, you know, I watched the extra stuff on the DVD when we had it here at home and watched the movie, you know, and some of the extra stuff, and it never came out in the media, never was heard. But I mean, Tom Cruise got to fly the JU-52, in part of that movie. You know, he is a pilot. He likes to fly. He was excited. He was talking about it during that movie that, you had these two real airplanes and the JU-52s and the two real, Messerschmitts, well, one Bouchon and one Messerschmitt, 109, that actually flew in the movie. And he was talking about how neat that was and how great that was. But it was just this one little blurb, you know, in the extra parts of the DVD. And, you know, I think he probably has a, you know, if he would, if he would get on board more in the Warbird circuit, I think he might. It might be a good thing for the Warbird community. Mm-hmm. You know, I know John Travolta flew his 707, his vintage airplane. You know, he flies it all over the place, and he flew it to Reno a few years back, mm-hmm. and did a pass down the line at Reno. So you know, he has an understanding as well. You know, so some of these guys, I think. You know, and of course they are what they are. They're movie stars and they're celebrities. But you know, if we could get them on board and get them out of their, you know, pull their Mustang out of the hangar. I know, I think Tom Cruise did a Barbara Walters interview or something in the hangar with his Mustang behind him. Mm-hmm. You know, and but it wasn't about, you know, it's all about Tom Cruise. It's not about airplanes necessarily, but they did talk about it a little bit. And, you know, it'd be great if he would, you know, let's get him to Midland and get him to Oshkosh to hang around the Warbird community a little bit. You know, I think some of that would go further than just him owning one. You know?
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, in his I guess defense too. I mean, there's a lot of these kind of interviews that they pre-tape them. He may have talked a whole bunch about them, but a lot of that may have ended up on the cutting room floor, which is unfortunate.
Get back to the media there. So
yeah, exactly. But join in on the conversation, folks. Again, give us a call here, 478-787-4768, and give us your thoughts on the conversation. Again, 478-787-4768 will be the number to call here, and the lines are wide open. So we'd love to hear from you guys and see what your thoughts are on this. Paul Gordon posted up on our Facebook tonight that yes, most people pay attention to the celeb, but it does get people to events, and that action is going to help the event foster a love for aviation. That is true. You know, and it goes back to exactly what you were saying, Zane, is that you know, again, their presence at these events are crucial, because I think that it, you know, it's draw the people there with the celebrity, but then they stick around for the interest and passion about aviation after that point. And you know, and seeing some amazing stuff flying or hearing some amazing stories beyond just the celebrity factor, but maybe the celebrity actually adds a little bit of credibility to them. So
so sure. I mean, if mom and dad say, hey, we're going to go to the air show because I heard that Harrison Ford's going to be there, and they drag little Johnny and little Betty along, who knows? It might foster something in those kids that, you know, they may actually touch an airplane for the first time or smell the airplane, you know, or feel the jet blast by, and they could be the next Warbird owner, the next pilot down the line. You never know. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, folks, we're going to take a little bit of a break here, and then we'll be taking your calls after the break. Again, 478-787-4768, 478-787-4768 to get in on the conversation. Anything that we've been talking about or anything you want to talk about is fair game for us tonight. So give us a call again, 478-787-4768. It's 30 minutes after the hour here on WIC's Warbird Weekly Live on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The United States, with all of its industrial might, is confident that its shores cannot be reached. Having two oceans separating itself from Europe and the Pacific, they believe the chances of an aerial attack on their major cities is minuscule. Little do they know that their enemy, Nazi Germany, is secretly developing aircraft that can make it across the Atlantic to bomb their factories and civilians. Developed by Germany's best airplane manufacturers, these weapons are being rushed in order to enact revenge on America. Now, learn how close they came in developing the American bombers.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC Scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, we're back here at Warbird Radio and Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2010, with myself, Ryan Keough, and my co-host, Zane Adams. And we're talking about warbirds of every single type this evening, and we're taking your calls here live this evening. The studio number, again, 478-787-4768, 478-787-4768 to reach us live here, and lines are wide open, folks, so give us a call whenever. One of the things, Zane, I actually picked up off the forum today, which kind of made me feel interesting, or I should say not feel interesting, but kind of, boy, oh boy, that, well, I did take some of those margarita shots before I got on the phone, so... I happened to notice a thread that popped on there that was talking about radioactive emissions and import standards, where Germany could not import stuff from the United States, basically engine parts for an F-104 out of a J-79, because of radioactive emissions from the jet. And this is the first time I've ever heard anything in regards to that.
And, and it was from Germany to Canada. It wasn't even the United States.
Exactly. It was U.S. It was the Ministry of Defense restrictions for the engine was not environmentally friendly. Now, I don't know if they used any sort of depleted uranium stock in the J-79, but I don't think that was the case at all. But that's the first I've heard about it. Anything that you've heard about in regards to...
I've never heard anything like that. Somebody posted on there that might be some beryllium in the bearings or something. I don't know. So in the bearings or in the igniters, maybe. But is not necessarily dangerous unless you chew on them, apparently. But
yeah.
I
like to go out and hug a warbird every once in a while. But man, chew them? No, I don't. I'm not gonna take a piece of P-51 in my mouth and start gnawing down, that kind of thing. But
yeah.
But it brings up an interesting subject in the fact that there are some of the airplanes that are currently flying out there right now that were used in test sites, out in Nevada, or pieces and parts that may have come from out of there. And, in many cases, they were far distance. They were used for concussion testing more than they were used for actual, radioactive testing. But there was, residual radioactivity on them and stuff. But most of the stuff has been tested once it came out of there. I know specifically the B-17 that the Collings Foundation operates was a test bird, the Yucca Lady, that sat out on the Yucca test flats for many, many years after a couple of blasts. And, recently, in the last at least 5 years, was tested, and there was no trace of any sort of radioactivity in that airplane whatsoever. But it begs the question of, has anyone else experienced these kind of, these kind of restrictions? I mean, we've all heard the stories about the radium dials on old instrumentation, and how warehouses full of old instruments were raided by, the Atomic Energy Agency and the EPA and all these, antique instruments were just confiscated and thrown away and disposed of properly and that kind of thing. that really does bring up an interesting point that, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I mean, is there anybody testing? Has there been any restrictions on this? Has anyone experienced this kind of the same kind of ludicrous behavior? You know, when it comes to very, very small amounts of radioactivity in anything. I personally haven't heard anything of it. This is the first time I've heard of it too. But you know, anybody out there that's heard of this, even in your instruments and that kind of stuff, where somebody says, "Oh, get that out of there, it's radium or whatever," like that. Have you heard of it?
There was one post on here that the inspector posted that the Museum of Flight had the fire department came in and you know, were freaked out by the radium instruments and wanted them all destroyed immediately, you know, and they said calmer heads prevailed. But, you know, that's the only thing that I necessarily ever heard of is radium instruments. You know, I've never heard anything else. I know that the Collings Foundation B-17, and I think there's a B-17 on display at Dice Air Force Base in Abilene that was a nuked B-17 as well. But, you know, they've been tested and scanned, and you know, but I've never heard of anything else other than that. I mean, there's some environmental issues with fuel and oil and, you know, hydraulic fluids and that kind of stuff, but you know, radioactivity is something that's just never you know, entered my mind on this stuff. You know, yeah. I know that there was some steel that came out of Mexico that here a couple of years ago tried to come across the border in El Paso, I think, from some steel plant, and some radioactive, you know, some Geiger counter picked it up, and it was, you know, they had recycled some old X-ray machines and just dumped them in with the steel that was coming, that they smelted down, and they set off the bells and whistles at the borders for radioactive steel, you know. So, you know, I guess anything's possible. But
so any of you out there, if you feel a tingle from your armor plating, you might want to consider, you know, getting it checked or something along the way. Or, of course, you know, I can say a lot of other things with tingle. But anyways.
Margarita's doing you good, isn't it?
Yeah, well, a little bit, yeah. The other, you know, thinking also, I mean, we're getting close to flying season for everybody, and you know, everybody's obviously rushing and trying to get their airplanes up and in flying status and such. And I've gotten a couple of encouraging pieces of news this past week that it looks like there will be there is the ability for a valid airworthiness certificate to be returned back to the B-26K crew that obviously brought the airplane a little earlier this year down to your neck of the woods in Fort Worth. And it looks like they are still trying to work toward a $50,000 goal to get the airplane up and running and make it up to Oshkosh for the big event up there too. So
it's gonna be a lot of work to make that happen. But
yeah, it's but every, you know, like we always say, it always just takes money.
Yeah. So, oh yeah.
But
you know, the 927, the CAF's B-24, was made its first air shows this weekend. It went to Dice. I was out there, saw it fly, and it went up to Altus for the air show up there as well. So they're off and running, and the airplane's working well. So
yeah,
we had four air shows in the area this weekend, I think, and so there were warbirds everywhere, and all was safe and all went well. So
cool.
Things are starting to move down here anyway.
That's great. Well, it looks like we got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Who's this?
Hello, this is Philip from Houston, Texas. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to tell you guys you're doing a great job. I had a couple of my buddies up at work talking about your radio station at lunch one day, and one of them was listening to it, the other was sort of listening to it. Now they've got me listening to it. So I just wanted to tell you that there's some of us out there that you're doing, and we're starting to listen to you regularly.
Well, spread the word, sir. We appreciate every little bit, and we hope you guys continue to enjoy. And you know, thank you for calling in at least tonight. So what's on your mind?
Well, I've just been watching a lot of the content lately, and it's very interesting. I just wanted to tell y'all we're doing a good job.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic. Now, do you work on any of the projects or volunteer with any of the groups in the greater Houston area? You got the Gulf Coast Wing that's close by to you, and Lone Star down in Galveston.
I've actually been to the museum there, and I worked at the airport when I was younger. So I'm an enthusiast. I enjoy going to the shows and when they're here in town, we got the Elk Field right near me as well, and they have some great air shows there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You've got the Wings Over Houston Air Show, which is always a fantastic show for that area and stuff too. So, well, we appreciate it. And what's your favorite Warbird? What's the one that's passionate in your mind?
B-24.
Man, amen, brother.
A man behind my own taste. Thank you very much.
That's all right. I think there's a lot of us that like that one.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, you guys keep saying you get somebody in there that has some better questions. I just want to tell you all how good of a job you're doing and really appreciate what you're doing for us.
Well, we appreciate you too. And thank you very much for calling in, and keep listening, and tune in regularly, and don't forget the morning show too. Matt Jolly has some fantastic lineups of guests, and I don't think the next couple of months will disappoint. It's going to be a fantastic year for Warbird Radio. So thank you very much again. So, again, if you want to give us a call tonight, give us a call here at Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. Want to hear from you guys. If you've heard any new news about any new Warbird movements in your area, what's up and flying, what's done its test flights, what's been getting close to completion of a major marker of an event. Just want to hear from you guys in terms of anything that's going on out there as we get closer to the air show season here.
I talked about 927. I don't want to leave my buddy Don with Texas Raiders out. Texas Raiders flew its first air show in 7 years, first official air show up to Central Texas this weekend, and came back code one, ready to go for the next one. So,
wow.
Real proud of those guys down there with Texas Raiders.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, you know, and I heard the news in the grapevine that they're actually getting ready to start their ride program up again. Is that correct?
I believe so. Yeah, that's the whole plan. Exactly.
Wow.
And I know Chucky around here, they're talking about once they get everything up and going again, they would love to start a local ride program here as well. So mm-hmm. It's the best way to keep the airplanes exercised and keep them flying, you know. To have them make just a touch of money out there flying people around. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and certainly certainly helps expose a lot more people and get the passion going around too, which is great.
Yeah.
Couple of updates out there too. The A-36 Apache project that the Collings Foundation has been keeping going out at American Aero Services in just outside of New Smyrna Beach, Florida, looks like it's coming together very, very well. They've got some pretty significant progress, and their website continues to show some really awesome progress to getting this extremely rare variant of the North American P-51 lineage model back up in the skies again. And I have a feeling that this is going to be right along the same par, if not better, than the P-51 that just came out of their shop and actually won grand champion at Sun and Fun this past year, Dixie Boy, that was out on the line that entered their shop. It was about 4 years ago, I believe it was. So. That's
beautiful airplane.
Yeah, that's certainly they do some outstanding work out there at American Aero Services. So can't wait to see that coming through, and that'll continue over the summer months, I'm sure, as it's got to be very easy to work on airplanes in the hot summer heat of Florida. But anyways. And of course, we've got a little bit more to go too. Another big jet Warbird is on the scene. But again, I want to invite anyone who is out there listening to us to give us a call tonight, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. It's about 45 minutes after the hour here at Wix Warbird Weekly. Can't go the entire show without mentioning a big press release that was sent through earlier this week, or at least a plea that was sent through from yet again the Collings Foundation regarding their intention or their aspiration to get a F-105 back up in the air, the good old Thunder Chief, or affectionately known as the Thud. So.
That makes me grin just thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people out there that are connected to the old F-105, and it is certainly a symbol of the Vietnam War, to say the least. But their intention is to continue pressure and support to get some sort of backing to hopefully get another conditional deed of gift, which would allow them to operate an F-105 similar to how they acquired the F-4 Phantom that they currently have in the TA-4 Skyhawk as part of their Vietnam Heritage flight that they have, or Vietnam Memorial flight, rather. And very, very interesting very, very interesting aspiration, because I can't imagine that the F-105 is a very cheap airplane to operate at all. Even though it has one engine versus two, I've heard from very, very many people that Republic tends to build products that are relatively complex, and the F-105 is certainly one of them, and it would be a very, very big challenge, let's say. But certainly the team down there in Houston, they have done a fantastic job keeping the F-4 going and the TA-4 going, and even the Huey for that matter. So I would say if anybody can do it, they can do it. We'd like to hear anybody's take on that. Again, give us a call here, 478-787-4768, to give us a call here in the studio live. Keep Zane and I from having to just hog the airways. We know that you're all out there enjoying the night, having your own margaritas and your own cantina, no matter where you are. Just, be safe when you're driving home and stuff. But heck, if you're enjoying them at home, give us a call over here. We don't care. I've dipped into mine, and the Swedish fish is now gone. So I had to sacrifice something over the break. So.
There you go. It's better than that stale donut in your file cabinet, huh?
Oh, we won't be talking about the stale donut in the file cabinet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness. And for those of it looks like we've got a couple of comments up here on our Facebook site, too. Anybody got any word as to when they think B-29 Fifi will hit the air? And it looks like it's going to be sometime over this summer. We had a show actually a little bit earlier this week, actually Tuesday, yesterday's show. It was mentioned on that show for Warbird Radio Live. So that's going to be fantastic to see that in the air. I'm guessing that if they can make it up, hopefully by the summer in an air show. Air show is going to be the place to be out in Midland, because you're going to have a B-24, a B-29, and potentially two B-17s up in the air all at the same time. And that's one I'm going to bet on, and that's one I'm going to make the trip out for. And I don't know about you, Zane, but, well, of course, it's closer for you. But
yeah, it's only a six-hour drive for me. So
That's true.
It's on my calendar. It's in the plans. If the crank don't rise, I'll be there. Looking forward to it. I'd love to seen Fifi fly in a long, long time. So,
exactly. I mean,
they've got all four engines, and they're in the shop now, and I think they're hanging engines maybe this week or next week, the last one. And Chris Tobridge was on the Warbird Radio Live show yesterday, you can listen to the podcast on the site there. And he's real enthusiastic and real, they're real excited to get that thing up sometime this summer. There's no date on it because of the they're not rushing, they're not there's no got to get it done by this date itis that's going to creep in on them. They're going to do it and do it right. But they're starting ground crew training, they're starting flight crew training, and so they're getting close. Next 3 months will tell.
That'll be great, and I can't wait to honestly see what the results of the new engine. Well, I should say the new adapted engines are, because the various modifications that they've done and through the wizardry of Azelle Aviation, I think it will be a very, very neat thing to see how much more reliability they get off of them by making these pretty significant engineering changes to it. But certainly, I think more and more over the next coming decades, we're going to see more and more of this happening anyways. If a certain airplane had a certain dash number that had a certain blower section in a certain spot, I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of these DER, or designated engineering representative approved modifications to accept a more common engine or a more common component to it, just because of the rareness of various pieces and parts of these airplanes. I know that there was talk at one time, B-17 tailwheels. They're very, very hard to come by. The actual wheel assembly and the tires themselves, and all of the different components, the gear pins and such. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that goes into a tailwheel. But there was a modification somebody put out there that was basically very, very similar in form and fashion to the tailwheel that was used on the Boeing 307, and it was using more commonly found parts, more commonly found tubes and tires, and that might be a modification that some of the touring B-17s start to see at some point when things just completely dry up. The B-17 co-op a couple of years back tried a new brake puck that used not the original asbestos-based materials, but synthetic heat-dissipating materials, and actually had some pretty good results from them. Instead of using the new old stock, they used these new form brake pucks that worked fairly well, and they continually improved them and produced them. And I don't know if they're still using that exact same one, but let's hope that it's that works. So,
yeah, I think I want to say they're using some sort of ceramic material now, but I'm just not sure on that. But yeah, these modifications will go a long way towards preserving the life of these airplanes. You know, these wearable parts are things that that need to be taken care of, and I think Fifi is probably going to set the gold standard for that. You know, it may be the fastest, most powerful B-29 ever built. So. It's going to be good to see.
Exactly. We do have a caller holding here. Caller, go ahead. Who's this?
Hey, this is Sean from L.A.
Hey, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, man. I'm a first-time caller. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you guys.
And to you as well, my friend. Calling from L.A. area. My goodness. That's you're on my time zone, man.
You guys got that Cinco de Mayo vibe going on today? You have some margaritas and such?
I've been trying to milk mine right now. So
there you go. No, that's what I'm actually. I can't wait to go out tonight for that. It'll be good times. But no, I just wanted to say, I mean, since I'm out here in L.A., there's a lot of talk about celebrities and flying and their planes and such. And I just wanted to say, I think it's awesome about Tom Cruise and his P-51. I think he should just be able to fly it all the time. But I think he should use a celebrity a little more to promote the history of it all, though. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
I would really like to see him use it a lot more, too. I mean, he's certainly gotten a lot of press for his at least interest in the World War II generation, through Valkyrie and that kind of thing. But I would like to see him do that. But I think, moreover, he's got a lot of he's got a lot of clout to get kids involved, because I mean, certainly his kids are young enough to get kids enthusiastic about airplanes and get the next generation enthusiastic about it too. So that would be at least my thoughts. Your thoughts on that, Zane?
Yeah, I think he's right that if they, like we were saying earlier, if we could get him on board, if we could get him to air shows, if we could get him involved with the museum, give him a free membership to the Chino Museum and let him come hang out at the and talk history and get involved with these things like that. I think it would go a long way towards getting the history and getting the word out about these airplanes and what we're trying to do, with the preservation and with the honoring of the veterans and everything else. I think they go a long way to helping.
Yeah, and I mean that's what I think. Sean, have you ever been up on a World War II airplane or a high performance sport plane before in your life?
No, I haven't. I'd love to. I mean, I'm a big fan of. I mean, all those movies in particular, just seeing that kind of stuff. You know, I'd love to go up in one.
Well, I think that's a challenge. Somebody out there, if you have an airplane, I think it's time to get Sean up on board and contact us if you want to do so, and hopefully you can make it out to the Chino Air Show. I know it's the Inland Empire, it's a little bit further in, but hopefully you can make it out there and maybe even meet up with some of us on that. So,
yeah, that'd be great times actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate the time that you took off the night, and we'll talk to you again. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, no worries. You guys got a great show. Keep at
Thanks.
It.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Be careful out there.
Yeah, that's true. It is getting about the time. It's about a little bit before 6 o'clock, and everybody's getting out of work, and it's time to go celebrate. So oh, goodness. So, well, again, if you want to give us a call, again, 478-787-4768. 478-787-4768. Give us a call here, and we will be glad to take your call. And we actually may be extending a little bit more too tonight. So if you have a little bit more to talk about this evening, give us a call over here at Wix Warbird Weekly Live, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear, I mean, anything that you've got in terms of restorations, things that are going on. Love to hear. Jeffrey Houghton, our N3N Jeff, says, "Happy Cinco de Mayo to all the Stearman owners. Have a drink on me. You all need it." Why, thank you. Thank you, Jeff. And I hope that
he's
all...
He's just not going to let it die, is he?
He's not going to. He's not going to. And Jeff, please have a drink on us, too, because, well, it'll have to be probably... probably Everclear or Popoff vodka or something like that, because it has to be cheap, because you got a lot of money to go into the restoration of that airplane. But anyways. Oh, goodness.
I was looking here. We're talking about airplanes. There's some new pictures of the Skyhawk that the TA-4 Skyhawk with the secret base in Arizona. I just can't remember who the heck's the airplane that is, but it's up and flying. There's some new photographs on the Wix page of that thing flying, and it's really looks good, and really looking forward to seeing that around as well. They're talking about bringing it to the Chino show, so it would be good stuff.
Okay, well, that would be great. I mean, it's close enough, and that would be fantastic to see that. So, but with that, what we're going to do is wrap up the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here for this week. I again want to thank Zane for joining me along as always, and our producer Matt Jolly for bringing us on board here. And we know that everybody's off celebrating this evening for Cinco de Mayo, so we will we'll let you go and continue to do that. But again, join us next week here at Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific, here only on Warbird Radio.
Hello. Hello, Matt. Are you sure this thing's on?
Yeah, Don. The mic is hot.
Oh, okay. Let me show you how to lay this down.
Hi, it's Don Kennedy, host of Big Ben Jump, and you're listening to Wix After Hours.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Oh, Don Kennedy, thank you. Velvety tones to us, and joining us here with our friend and producer Matt Jolly. And
is this thing on?
Yeah,
is this thing on?
I think it is.
Is this thing on?
That was a
fun show. I think everybody's out having a good time tonight. Everybody's out partying, having fun at Cinco de Mayo, and we're stuck here in the studio.
Yeah, that's true. But
someone's got to hold the fort down.
That is true. That is true. We are.
I have to figure out how to plug this margarita machine in here. Let's see.
It's really easy when you work at a company that has a bunch of charter airplanes. You just go out and you just find
just hit the mini bar.
Yeah, just find the mini bar. It's great. You know, I got to reimburse it, but hey, you know, who cares?
Airplanes full of little bottles, huh?
Yeah, tiny bottles.
Yep.
Well, that was a fun show. You guys did a good job on it. If anybody's listening to the podcast tonight, of course, you had a couple of calls, and not bad for Cinco de Mayo. A busy night everywhere in the world. And Sean, of course, called in there about Tom Cruise. That was kind of interesting from an LA perspective, if you will. You know, I don't have a problem with the guy flying a Mustang. I think more of them ought to get involved in it. But you're right. I see the point. It would be nice if they kind of, you know, and they are not obligated to. They're just out having a good time. But it'd be cool if they could lend their celebrity to sort of help You're right, to help the cause out a little bit more. Because, you know, how hard could it be to say that? But, I mean, I'm sure they're getting pulled in a million different directions, and I'm just glad they're into it. But
yeah,
I see what you're saying. It can be a slippery slope, but...
And I guess too, also, I mean, it's just like the paint situation, you know. It's my Warbird, I'll cry if I want to, you know. Yeah, you're going to do whatever the heck you want to because it's your plane. I mean, and for the most part, I see a lot of these guys, I mean, probably not wanting to fly it as much because of the paparazzi situation. I mean, that's just completely gotten out of control. And, you know, and no, folks, you're not listening to TMZ here.
You know what's disturbing me more than anything, that, and Zane, I think you probably would agree with me, is that Ryan's reading Us Weekly. That's what really has me bothered more than any of this.
People and all that, yeah.
As a well-rounded Warbird guy, you have to sometimes take the bullet. And you have to know when Kurt Russell's, you know, flying, or you have to know when they're coming out with the next big movie that's like Pearl Harbor that is so historically accurate that young children will always know that the Doolittle raid happened with all the P-40 pilots from Pearl Harbor and further reinforces the reason why I don't like Matt in movies. Not you, Matt, but the other Matt.
Who was bumped, by the way, tonight?
Well, I'm sorry, his other friend, his untalented friend, not Matt Damon.
My God, you are just, I would hate to be in Hollywood tonight and hear that you are just you're on a rant tonight, Ryan.
I'm the Roger Ebert of the Warbird community, you know. This was a substandard film at best, you know.
I will say this. It was interesting that Matthew Modine showed up last year to the Warriors and Warbirds air show. And came out to see his airplane. The old Memphis Belle that he was, of course, reunited with. He had not seen it since the movie, but wow. I thought it was really cool that he came out and he just heard it was in town. He came out to the show to see the airplane, and I got a hand at the guy. He spent a lot of time talking to a few of the World War II vets who'd actually flown on the airplane, and you could tell he was really, just really, enjoying the moment, I guess is the best way to say. And it was pretty cool to see that. And, of course, he stayed around, and the folks at the air show said, would you mind saying a few words? And, you know, he went up there and talked a little bit about it and just kind of having a cool time. And, of course, he did an interview with us. It was a lot of fun. And, that's great to see. It's great to see those folks who have the potential, I think, to sort of shine a light on this, if you will, on the Warbird community and the history that's involved here. It's nice when they do that. So
yeah,
that's exactly the kind of involvement that we're talking about, that they need to, that would love for him to do, you know.
Our hats off. And
Harrison Ford, at least he's stepped up and signed on the dotted line with the AOPA and the EAA, and he's doing things. He's talking about it.
That's right.
You know.
So, yeah, that's right. Well, and we'll see how that progresses. Aaron Tippin, of course, he's not paid for this, the work that he does with the Commemorative Air Force, but he's stepping up. And of course, if you were at ICAST this year, you got to see the Aaron Tippin show. Pretty cool.
Yeah,
he played a concert at the Central Texas Air Show last year, so he's doing that kind of thing. It's great. Yeah,
that's true. And eat your pants, Jeff. He does fly a steerman. So
oh, that's right. Yeah, he's a steerman.
he's a steerman owner.
Zing.
Yeah, those N3N's not going to like that. That's for sure. Oh man. It was a fun show though tonight. I enjoyed that. It was fun to sit here and listen to you guys, rattle on and on and on about all that. But I'm shocked about? I'm shocked about that you guys didn't bring up the whole thing in with the Connecticut Corsair. I'm shocked.
We talked about it a little bit.
But
enough to try to elicit a phone call.
Or not elicit a phone call,
That's all you want. Well, and I am disappointed that nobody's called in from a control tower tonight. I'm disappointed that nobody has, called in from an airport. We had that happen one time. That was kind of cool.
Well, controllers need margaritas, too.
They do. They're all out at the restaurant tonight. I was going to rent a mariachi band for you guys tonight. I was going to do it, but I blew all my budget on Don Kennedy. So.
Well, I was going to say, it's such a last minute. I mean, where are you going to get a mariachi band at this hour?
On Cinco de Mayo, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
In Tennessee, or wherever you are,
It's easy here,
Fort Worth, but,
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Zane. We're in Georgia, but we have a Mexican food restaurant that's right down the street. And, when we first moved out here, my wife enjoys Tex-Mex as much as I do. And for me... you know, being from Texas, that's like mom's home cooking. You know, it really is. You know, Mexican breakfast, you know, you have taquitos and all that stuff. That's just a part of who I am. And you can't get Tex-Mex outside of Texas. You can get Mexican food, but it's not Tex-Mex. Tex-Mex is its own unique blend, you know, and I think any Warbird pilot would appreciate that. There's a place right down the street here that has pretty doggone good Tex-Mex, and they had a mariachi band at lunch. They have one after I get off the show tonight. Yeah. Today? Oh, yeah, and cool. it's the real deal. So I might slide down there here in a few more minutes and meet my buddy Colonel.
A birthday party with a – they had a female mariachi band here last year. So
yeah. Yeah, that's fun. Fun times for sure. But, you know, it's
–
It's just one of those nights. Wednesday night, not a lot going on tonight, but nonetheless, it is Cinco de Mayo, and I think everybody's having a good time tonight. I'm drinking coffee.
In the case of out here in Arizona, you know, everybody's going out and enjoying their Cinco de Mayo. And
you have a don't tell policy.
Yeah, and getting tied up at the ICE raids, of course. So, I mean, that's the...
don't tell Cinco de Mayo parties, yeah. You know, bring ID.
Bootlegger Cinco de Mayo here in lovely Phoenix, Arizona.
Everyone's going to show up in a kilt this year. That's what's going to happen out there, so...
You're a kilt Spanish, aren't you? You're Scottish Spanish.
It's a caber toss on Cinco de Mayo.
Let's get a welly toss out there. We'll be fine. You know?
We're having the haggis this year instead of the beans. Yeah.
Haggis tacos. That's.
Yeah, that's right. The confused ICE agents. Yeah.
Yeah.
We thought it was a Cinco de Mayo party.
I guess tacos almost sounds like some air show lobsters that I've come across.
Right. Hey, you could do a whole show on that some night. The strangest air show food that you've ever seen. I mean, that's the fried Oreos. That still has to be one of my favorites. That's an instant.
But that's a good thing. I've done those. Believe me, son. I've done those out here. I'm like Paula Deen. I will deep fry anything. I'll deep fry my dog, and he'll be delicious with a nice honey feel ham. You know,
right,
on a stick.
Yeah. On a stick.
Everything's on a stick. It's Iowa. Everything's on a stick at the fair and stuff.
Well, it's been a fun show, and I'm looking forward to next week. I'm hoping that you know what I'd like to have Jim Harley call in again. That was a really cool show that you guys did.
And, yeah,
you know, yeah, stories from Jim. That'd be cool.
It's been a while since we talked to Jim, and I know he's been flying his pants off down at Warbird Adventures down in Kissimmee. So, and certainly he probably knows what's the dealio down there with a lot of the projects that are going on in that area too. So, that would be very cool and such. It'd be great to hear from him, and you know, just about it. You know, there's a whole bunch of people out there in Wix that I would absolutely love to get a call from every once in a while, and just hear their voices. You know, and actually, you know who the heck we're talking to most of the time.
Well, that'd be cool, man. You know, I just got an email from Nathan here, and a lot of folks are emailing in tonight. But he says he really hopes the Collins Foundation gets to acquire the F-105. It'd be really cool if it happened. He says. And he goes on to say that we really need to increase the number of flying warbirds, especially the rare aircraft that still haven't found their way back to the sky. Give some of us a chance that never got to see them fly. Well, that's true. And, you know, just I'm not kidding you guys. Like, last week, was it last week or the week before last? I can't remember. The museum out here offloaded an F-105 from C-5 that had flown it out here from San Antonio. It's still up on stations, but we've got some great pictures of it. And I was talking, you know, to Joe, and I said, you know, it'd be so cool if they were able to fly one of these again. And almost instantly, we looked at each other and we were like, yeah, but you know, it'll never happen. And here it is. I mean, you know, if that does happen, man, that would be so cool because that was such a great airplane, and it really saw a lot of service. And what a cool airplane.
And you don't realize how many people flew them. I mean, quite honestly, you talk to a lot of the airline pilots, the older airline pilots and stuff, and, you know, what were you in the Air Force? Oh, I was a THUD driver. I was a THUD driver. You don't even fathom it. And most people always look at the F-4. You know, I think it's because of the General Ritchie angle of it, you know, the fact that, you know, also Duke Cunningham flew the F-4. So you see those in a lot of the back shots of everything. But, yeah, the F-105 was really the, you know, one of the unsung heroes. And man, it really did help the entire effort. I mean, quite frankly,
I carried a ton of bombs and did the first Wild Weasel missions and all that. Yeah,
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad, too, to see that there's so many F or A4s that are currently out there and running, too, because they did a lot of the low-level work that a lot of the guys never really, you know, acknowledged. Yeah. I mean, Collings is FastFac painted up A4. That's great to see out in the scheme. And of course, the other two that have recently seen air under their wings again, too.
Fascinating airplane. I would love to see it. It's such a cool-looking airplane, too. You know, just really, really neat.
Yeah. The 105, I mean, it's a wicked-looking airplane.
Oh, yeah. And the first time you see it, you go, gosh, this thing sits up so high. But you realize that, you know, they had to swing a nuke underneath it. And it's a big airplane.
Yeah, I remember them flying. The Texas Air National Guard flew them out of Carswell Air Force Base back when I was in high school. When they were finally retired, those guys. And I remember seeing those fly. So I would love to see and hear one of those things again. Just a monster of an airplane.
Yeah, I agree.
It's exciting.
Well, it's been a fun night, guys. And I'll tell you what, we'll make this available on the podcast, too. But hopefully next week, everybody will be recovered from the old Cinco de Mayo. And we might have a special guest for the Wix After Hours, too. I'm hoping.
That would be great.
She's home and can slide in here.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be nice? It was supposed to be today, but, you know, yet again, delayed.
Yeah.
This is the hardest. Everybody's like, well, how do you handle that? I'm like, well, you know what? It's not that bad. You get used to it. The special gray. I don't know. But here's the thing. The last few days, I got to stay busy. So it's just the last few days, this has been the hardest one. I mean, she's never been delayed like this. And the last few days have been really, man, it's just like, can't wait to see him. So.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I always have that last-minute anxiety and nerves and, you know, all that stuff. And it's usually because I've let the house go so bad that I have to, you know, clean the house and, you know, six months' worth of crap around my house. So I have to actually put it all back together again. And
they probably have some tips for that in Us Weekly, Ryan.
I couldn't resist. But you know what? When it comes right down to it, I can't read in Us Weekly because I'm too busy getting enraptured in the test. In Cosmo, honestly, has the best.
Zane, give that boy some testosterone, will you?
Well, have you seen what he drives? Oh.
Oh, I can't say anything.
Oh, no. Well, at least an MG is a little bit better, but yeah, no. I get the Miata curse, you know.
I do have a Ford truck. Yeah,
my Miata turns lots of heads.
Yeah, well, I drive a Honda Element. I'm not too far behind.
You guys are too much. Well, hey, we have wasted yet another hour here and had some fun doing it, and hopefully you guys had a great time. Thanks for doing this, Ryan.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, man.
And thank you, Don, for giving us the intro there.
Wasn't that nice of him?
It was great. Fantastic of him.
I'd bring him back, but he's got the sombrero on right now, and he's already
that's true.
Already having a good time. So
he's entertaining the downtown folks was it Atlanta?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'll never forget the day. This is a quick Cinco de Mayo story. We had a Cinco de Mayo party, and we had a rent a Spanish teacher in for the week of Cinco de Mayo, and she was from Michigan, a nice lady, but from Michigan. And in South Texas, and she taught us a song for Cinco de Mayo. I'll never forget it. She taught us La Cucaracha. And, of course, we all knew the song was about a cockroach smoking pot. And when she found out, just, you know, just sort of lost its appeal, I think, to her. She said, oh, my, I had no idea. You know, you're teaching the kids a song.
I had any idea of that.
Right. I'm sure all of my buddies would be proud to know that I just told that story. But, yeah. And the really sad part was I was in the German class. That really ought to tell you something right there. So she didn't care who was there.
They did kind of lie a little bit during the beginning stages of war.
But, I mean, Cinco de Mayo party? Nobody's going to sit in German class when the Cinco de Mayo party's going down the hall. No way. No.
well, they don't celebrate Oktoberfest in German class, so it's like, okay.
Could you imagine that? All right, guys.
A bunch of kids with tankards, yeah.
Well, good night, John Boy. And,
good night, gentlemen.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Good night, all of you listening to us. We will catch you next week here at Wix After Hours, immediately following Warbird Radio, or Wix Warbird Live here. It was the fish. It was the Swedish fish that put me over the top.
Yeah.
Or Wix Warbird Live here on Warbird Radio.
You guys have a good night now.
Bye-bye. Good night.